welcome back to the RV America Y'all podcast.
I'm Stacy.
I'm Tom, and we're RV America Y'all.
We are native Texans and full-time RVers who are all about exploring the great state of Texas and beyond, one campground at a time. We're on a mission to experience life, not just live it, and we're bringing you along for the fun.
We're at beautiful Jamaica Beach RV Park. This is episode 32.
And this week, we are excited to share more of our friends with you. We are joined today by Betty and Howard, who are not full-time, not really part-time, but long-time RVers. So sit back, relax, and join us as we RV America, y'all. Y'all, we are so excited to be sitting here inside the RV of our friends Betty and Howard. It's a little windy outside.
Yeah.
So they've been gracious enough to invite us in. And now, if you watch our videos, then you know Betty and Howard. I mean,
you've seen them in a few.
They were kind enough to sit down with a Winging It episode a few years ago. And they've been in videos that we've done in Louisiana, yep, and in Nashville.
You might have actually saw them on a mud bug boat.
That's true.
The crawdad boat.
The crawfish boat in Louisiana. That's right. So they are no strangers to you if you watch our videos. But we wanted to sit down, and we've never recorded a podcast with them. So Howard and Betty, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, thanks so much for sitting down with us again. We're going to be, you know, these folks move around all the time, so we're going to try to get them to sit down here for a few minutes, yeah, to talk to us.
Yep, that's true. That's true.
Before we get too far into it, why don't you tell everybody about your RV? What do y'all travel in?
Okay, we have a Bounder. We call it Bounder. It's a Fleetwood Bounder 2016, model 33C.
Right.
And we've had it for about four years. Mm-hmm. And we love it. It suits us just fine. It's about 34 feet long. It's a gas. Mm-hmm. And it has treated us very well.
Now, when you guys bought this, you were the second owners, correct?
Third
owners, yeah. Okay. But wow, it already had solar, and it had some lithium batteries and everything, so you didn't have to do any of that to it.
It did, and I was investigating the solar on this, and I found out that this is actually factory solar.
Really?
That we have.
Oh, wow. So they installed it at the factory.
They installed it at the factory, Fleetwood. And it was just something that, you know, I tried to find out, and when you look at the way it's installed, mm-hmm, it lends itself to factory insulation. So when I checked it out, it was.
Wow.
Of course, the lithium batteries probably weren't from the factory, though.
I think they were.
Wow. That's awesome.
Interesting.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, because back then, I'm not sure they were doing lithium at any factory. But I could be wrong. I mean, I
either way,
don't know.
It is a very cool,
yeah, I mean,
RV.
Yeah.
I know
this would have been in 2015, late 2015, early 2016.
Okay, yeah.
When they built it.
Super cool. Now, how did y'all come about choosing this particular RV? Were y'all looking for something in particular? Or?
Oh, wow. So way, way back.
This is an interesting story, actually. When
we decided to retire, we were trying to figure out what to do next. And at that time, traveling in an RV was not even on the list.
Wow.
And I really didn't have a desire to drive down the road cleaning house. That wasn't one of the things that was on my list of things to do, especially when I retired. But we started watching RVs, and we knew some other people who were doing it. And one day, we went to an RV show in Dallas, Texas, at Market Hall there. It was a huge show.
That's a big show.
It is a big show.
And they had everything there. We walked through every single RV just about, and we found the exact one we wanted. And I can't tell you which one it was because we didn't buy that one.
Right.
And then finally we went to a dealer locally, and then we found another perfect one that we really liked, and we bought it. It was a Rockwood
20 mini light.
Mini light.
Foot.
Yeah, 25 foot.
So a bumper pull.
A bumper pull.
Okay.
And we pulled that thing around state to state for, I guess, about 18 months. And it was a 2018.
Okay.
And we bought it in 2017. And we decided, hey, we really like this. And we were watching more and more YouTubers, and we were meeting a lot of people. And so we had to think about, well, what's next? Do we want to stay in this trailer? And we really liked it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, and we still talk about, man, that was such a nice trailer. And then we thought, no, somebody... I think it was in the back of my mind, said, go big or stay home or something. You know, if you can't run with the big dogs, you know, there's something. But we started looking at coaches. And it's a kind of a funny story. Before you bought your Tiffin, mm-hmm. We were looking at your coach at the same time.
Yeah.
You were looking at your coach.
Oh, that's hilarious.
On RV Trader.
Right.
And the reason I know that was because of your fuzzy seat covers.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. That particular coach, the first owner.
When we started watching your videos, I saw, or when you bought your Tiffin, because we started watching you way before your Tiffin. I saw those seat covers. I said, look.
Yeah.
They bought our coach.
Oh, my gosh. But, we're not going to watch them anymore.
So that's kind of how we got started. And I think that, you know, where we are now, we've had this coach for several years. We love the way it functions. We love the solar. We love boondocking when we can. And like you said, you know, we're not full-timers. We call ourselves most of the timers.
There you go.
Yeah.
And we travel whenever we can. Mm-hmm. And being retired and having no real home responsibilities that we can't pawn off on our neighbors and kids, that, you know, we can go for as long as we want, wherever we want, and we've done that. And we don't always take the RV.
Okay.
Sometimes we'll do a long trip. You know, we have a Jeep, and we just got back recently from a 9,000-mile Jeep trip.
And that's awesome. Actually, when we ran into y'all in Nashville,
true,
you were just starting that Jeep trip.
That was the first day of the Jeep trip.
You drove from Texas up to Nashville, and we spent, a day and a few hours. And then you were on your way. Where all did y'all go on that trip, Betty?
Oh, we went, we stopped at a lot of places in the United States, and then we crossed over to Canada up by Niagara Falls, and then we came back into the States, and then back into Canada up by Montreal, and then we stayed in Canada after that, went all the way to Labrador.
Yeah.
Newfoundland.
Wow.
So the Jeep there probably was easier to maneuver with going in and out of Canada, probably.
Oh, most definitely. Especially when you know, we had to take the Jeep across two ferries two times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And, you know, that was, it worked well, but, you know, one time we didn't have a reservation to get back, and we were a little nervous about that. And that's another hilarious story on its own. But we had a great time in Newfoundland and Nova Scotia, and we have family in New Brunswick. And we tried to see all the things that we could on our way up and on our way back. Jeep Badge of Honor trails, we hit a whole bunch of those.
Oh, yeah.
And we hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Niagara Falls, Montreal, Quebec. We came in through northern Maine and then back out again into New Brunswick. And we've had some interesting border experiences and stuff. So it was just all a lot of fun. And that was almost a 3-month trip.
And since y'all, you talked about the Jeep,
mm-hmm.
and obviously, I guess you use that as a toad from time to time, I guess.
Most of the time. We used to tow them. We have a Miata that we tow as well.
Okay.
We used to tow it all the time. In fact, we brought it down here, I think, the first time.
I think you did. That's right.
Yeah.
The problem with that is we ended up making friends.
And the Miata,
we all travel in groups, yeah. Right?
The Miata only travels
two people, so we leave the Miata behind now.
And you know, we had that same issue for years. We had the two-door Jeep,
uh-huh.
and it had a back seat, sort of, kind of.
Uh-huh.
And if you wanted to fold up, you remember, you know. And so it is nice to have that extra back seat with doors. So when you, because that's one of the things about RVing, right? Is all the people that you do meet and the friends that you make.
Exactly.
And yep. Now we've run into y'all in a bunch of different places
it's
and
amazing.
States. And how many states have y'all been to so far?
Well.
Oh, in the RV?
Yeah. Well, in the RV.
Yeah, in the RV. How many would you say?
Well, we've been to all the states, but I think we've only camped in about 27.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a little work to do yet.
Got a little work.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
We need to get up around the Great Lakes, northern Great Lakes, and up in the northwest.
Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Our plan so far for this summer, we're hoping to get to Idaho, Washington, Oregon.
Nice.
Kind of that loop.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
awesome.
So when y'all plan, I mean, how long do you go you know, you're talking about a long way. So how long are you going to be away from the house, do you think?
On this next trip, I think it's going to be, it'll be less than 3 months. It'll be 2.5 to 3 months. But we never really, we plan to go all these places, but we don't plan to come home. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but
we get
out there and we get to having fun, and we say, well, let's stay here a little longer, or we'll say, well, instead of going here, let's go over here, because even though it's going to take us another week, look at all the cool things going on.
Right.
So that's a part of it, but we're going to a lot of different places when we go out, because we want to go to Moab, we also want to go through Arizona. We love Arizona, Colorado, Utah.
Beautiful.
We have a lot of fun with those places, especially if we take the Jeep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we want to go up into Idaho, Oregon, and Washington. And to change it up a little more, we also want to go up to Alberta, Canada.
Okay.
In Edmonton.
Oh, wow.
We have family up there, and we'd like to visit them. And also, you can't go up there without going to Jasper and Banff.
Right.
And,
right.
Adding on to it.
So I understand.
That's awesome. I mean, plan. It sounds like you're playing like us, but it's in pencil because you can change it at
any
time.
And right. I think each time we go out, we're more and more comfortable leaving the house for that long.
Okay.
At the beginning, I was a little bit nervous when we were gone like 3 weeks, and then we stretched it out to 4 weeks one time, and now this trip down here, 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So we're the next one we do up in out west, it's probably going to be 2 months.
Yeah. See, that's awesome. Because
and we've got some short trips coming up, too. Like, we're going to go down to Big Bend and spend some time down there.
Awesome.
Swing up to Fort Davis.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Hang out there.
And oh, yeah.
You know, that's going to be a short trip, maybe 10 days. But that's
that's a short trip now.
But, isn't that funny how that changes for you, right?
Yeah. Right.
Now a 10 days is a short trip.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't get to do a whole lot of boondocking in Texas, but you do get to go to some fantastic state parks.
Oh.
And Corps of Engineer parks.
Yes. Yes. And River Authority parks. Have y'all done any of the River Authority parks in Texas?
Did we do one? I think we did one.
We may have, but I can't remember. We might have had to cancel that one. I can't remember.
And yeah, but see, that's pretty awesome. They travel so much, they can't even remember.
Where were we when we saw?
I love that. And now, you're spontaneous, too, obviously. Uh-huh. I love that.
So when you do your planning for your trip, is one of y'all the main planner, and then the other one just kind of says yes or no, or how do y'all do
I'll
that?
I'll tell you exactly how we do it. It kind of works.
Kind of works.
Yeah. So we'll say... we'll come up with an idea for a trip. We want to go way out here and then come back. Mm-hmm. And then while we're doing that, we want to see all these other places. So I'll get on some software and I'll map it out. It takes me probably 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then we'll start fine-tuning it. And then Betty will find parks.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then I call the parks.
Okay.
If we can't reserve online, but we don't reserve everything.
Okay.
We only reserve the key areas so that we can stay flexible.
Oh, like that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do y'all use any kind of software or?
Yeah, I mean, it's okay if you have a particular type of
Once
you like
I take
or whatever.
Over to find the parks, I use a TripWizard.
Okay.
I use that. I find the parks, but before we lock them in, you know, I'm also finding all the activities that are in the area because we might have to swing up, you know, 100 miles this way or.
When I tell you these folks do not stop, I'm telling you they do not stop.
The Energizer Bunny has nothing.
So if y'all find a place that you want to go, let's say you were going to go. Let's say you were going to go to Moab, and I know Moab's kind of its own animal, but we use that as an example. Do y'all have a certain radius that you look at? Okay, we're going to be staying in Moab. What's your radius that we'll drive this far to see something that we want to see that's kind of close to Moab, but, you know, or do you then move on to your next place that's maybe that area? Because some people do like a, you know, they'll say, I'm going to stay here for a week and I'm going to see everything in a 50-mile radius. Or I'm going to just move to the next location.
We've actually done it both ways.
Yeah. Okay.
It depends on whatever's available to see and do and where we're staying. Moab is not a good example.
No, it is not a good example.
For going on a certain radius.
Right.
Everything's right there.
Right there.
You're right. That's a very good point.
There is so much within a 20-mile radius.
Yes.
Yeah. That you have to pack up and move somewhere else and keep moving.
You're right.
But if you were to go to Oklahoma or Nebraska and you're heading north and you want to stay at this alpaca farm in Oklahoma City and then move on to stay at a library. You know, there's all kinds of harvest hosts and some boondocking opportunities there. But we love to boondock out west. Mm-hmm. Holy cow.
I remember the first time y'all were doing that, you were a little nervous about it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it can get scary. We stayed at some sketchy places where, you know, you have to keep your eye on things. But overall, we haven't had any bad experiences.
Oh, that's great.
Our very first experience was at Sacramento Pass.
On the loneliest
road in America. And we had no idea about boondocking. We get to this location. Our topper messed up on our slide. The slide wouldn't open.
No.
Our generator wouldn't work.
Oh, and here you're boondocking.
It was about 36 degrees outside.
We were about 8,000 feet elevation.
Okay.
And the generator wouldn't work.
Because of the elevation.
Because of the elevation, and we didn't know.
I wasn't smart enough to know that you could adjust the generator for elevation. And also, our furnace wouldn't work.
Oh, no.
So we didn't have any heat, and it was below freezing.
And we're looking at this big window at the mountains, and all of a sudden it starts snowing.
Oh, my gosh.
With no heat.
Couldn't get the slide out.
It was dark.
Well, I guess since you couldn't get the slide out, it kept your footprint smaller, so the warmth stayed inside maybe a little better.
Yeah,
we didn't have to heat as much space.
Got reacquainted that night. it was a cold night, but not bad. Yeah. I mean, in the whole scheme of things.
I think it's interesting, though, and I think it's with a lot of our viewers. One of our first experiences of taking the coach, the motorhome, we had it maybe a week, and we went on this big trip, and our very first stop was Little Rock, and we got hit with a fifth wheel.
Oh.
Oh, no.
And on that same trip, I wrecked the front end of my Miata.
Oh, my gosh.
And there was something else. And yeah, that didn't deter us from
RVing. You're still here.
You're still RVing.
Isn't that sad? Still RVing.
First experience with boondocking, you know, on this pass at the generator. There's just something about RVing that those are just fun experiences after the fact.
Right. Yeah, they're not so fun maybe at the time, but they make great stories later.
They make great stories later.
I think every RVer has, I'll just call it bad luck. I mean, things go wrong.
Right.
And you don't really plan for it, but you just kind of know things are going to happen. So you just handle it.
Right.
Right.
And the good always outweighs the bad.
I agree.
Well, that's why Stacey and I always say the journey is the destination.
Yes.
Because it's always a journey. Just like you start out boondocking, it was almost a disaster. Yet you started that whole thing by saying, we love to boondock.
Yes.
Right.
So the journey got you to loving the boondock.
And whenever something goes crazy for us, you know, we've been hit. You know, the RV's been hit when we were in Georgia.
And it was brand new.
And we've had a front wheel blowout tire failure in Texas. And we broke down with a previous coach in the middle of Grand Teton National Park. And we always just say it's part of the adventure.
Part of the adventure.
You know, every time we have something that doesn't go to plan, it's okay, you know, now what? We learn from that experience. Mm-hmm. And
like we said, the accident when we got hit in the new RV took us to NIRVC Atlanta, their Atlanta location. Well, that's where we met Buddy and Jeanette.
Right.
And now they're here.
And now they're here.
I mean, again, that all came together, and we came up with some great friends that now we meet on the road.
And if you missed our conversation with Buddy and Jeanette, I'll link that in the show notes because they also sat down with us for one of these podcast episodes.
Yeah.
So we've talked about a lot of things so far. Do y'all have so far favorite places that you've gone to in the RV? Places that you definitely want to go back to or were bucket list items that did not disappoint you?
One of the places I really enjoyed was Skidaway Park.
Oh, yes, outside of Savannah.
Savannah. I loved that park. It was just, you drive into it. I think there's not one particular place that I love. I think it's the parks that do a lot for me.
Yeah. Now, is that why y'all chose the site? Your coach is 34 feet long. You've mentioned state parks now a few times. Mm-hmm. Is that why you went with the size that you did, like us? I mean,
no.
It's
Not at all.
So we store our coach. I shouldn't say store it because it didn't stay in there very long. But we have a 40 by 45 foot building on our property. And even though it's a 40-foot building, it'll hold about a 35-foot coach comfortably.
Gotcha.
And that was the reason we bought the trailer at the time, too, because we stored it on a certain part of that building that would only accommodate a 28-foot trailer.
Oh, okay.
So that was our big limitation. But and unbeknownst to us, 34 feet is a really good size to fit in probably 95% of the places we want or need to go. I'm real happy with the size that we have. I don't think I'd want to go any bigger now that I am used to this.
Right. It's
totally
amazing.
Understand.
You know, for a lot of folks, you know, a lot of our friends that are here now have bigger coaches, mm-hmm. and they're beautiful, but I'm with you. For me, you know, we're used to living in the smaller space, and I think we have everything we need personally.
Yep.
But each person is different, and
right.
their needs are different.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the opportunity to stay in the state parks and the River Authority parks and the national parks sometimes.
Well, each park, too, has its purpose. Like a state park, when we go to state parks at Corps of Engineers, I feel that we're camping.
Mm.
When we come to Jamaica Beach or other parks like this, we're RVing, we're visiting friends, we're exploring. There's different ways to RV, and the state parks and the Corps of Engineers, I feel that it's more of a camping experience.
That's a great way to look at it. I hadn't thought of it that way, but I think you're 100% right.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of on RV Texas Show, when we had RV Texas Show, we kind of broke it down, and camping mm-hmm. did fall into the state mm-hmm. parks and the national parks.
Yeah.
More
natural areas.
That's right, the more mm-hmm. natural areas. We did block that off.
Places that you could also take a tent if you wanted to tent camp.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what are some of your favorite things about RVing? You know, you've had some issues, but you keep on doing it.
It's almost like when we leave the house, we leave all our responsibilities back there. Because every time we go home, there's a whole list of things to do.
Right? Yeah.
It's like to get away. You can just get away.
Just get away.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, meeting like you guys and all the people we've met is just amazing.
I agree. Yeah. The people are always...
It's number one on our list, for sure.
We have met a lot of new and interesting people. Some have become good friends.
Yeah. Some.
Yeah.
But that's true. And it is amazing. The more we travel, the more we tend to run into some folks again and again.
Again
and sometimes it's planned and sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a fun thing because you already have something in common with them as soon as you meet those new people.
For sure.
You know, you already have a sense of adventure. You already have travel stories that you can share. So almost like when you meet somebody for the first time, it's almost like you've already kind of known them a little bit.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that one.
So, so that's your favorite things about RVing. Do you have any pet peeves about RVing lifestyle stuff?
Inconsiderate people. And I guess I could translate into that how they take care of the parks that they're staying at and being inconsiderate of other campers. And I notice more and more of that as I'll call it when COVID started and a lot more new people were camping and, you know, they just cause problems for other people.
We saw an uptick in sometimes you'd go into, say, a state park. We use that as an example. And there would be more, say, people just had left trash in the fire pit.
Mm-hmm.
Not
in
cleaned up after themselves or in the site in general. We definitely noticed that. And I don't know if it was just people just didn't think, you know. But to me, I agree, that is a major thing
We've always said before, leave that campsite cleaner than when you got to it. You know, you got to be considerate of everything. Not just others, but nature.
Oh, the animals that might come along.
I mean, you got, and I'm with you, Howard. I agree with that. And you know, for us, sometimes it's just as easy as saying our site is our site. People shouldn't just be walking through our site.
Right.
People don't realize that when you cut through somebody's site, that's almost, it's like when you lease that or when you rent that site, that's your little piece mm-hmm. of real estate. And it's an unwritten rule that you don't walk through people's campsites. It's like walking through their backyard.
Right. It's
basically
an invasion of your area, your territory.
Your spot. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the thing I see more than, and I honestly think in that respect, people just don't understand. Mm-hmm. They've never learned that, you know, they may have just started in COVID and went out and let's face it, everybody needed to get out of the house. I mean, and I and I understand a lot of that.
Now,
you know,
y'all, that's an interesting question because y'all have a house and you've had a house for a uh-huh. long time. You were not living in your RV during COVID. But how did that affect your traveling during that time?
Oh, we traveled, I think, more that year than any other year.
Okay.
So you had more flexibility because you had an RV.
Uh-huh.
We did. And the places that we went were vacant.
There was hardly anybody there.
Yeah.
There was no parks. Entry fees. Canyonlands was an example.
Wow.
We went through Canyonlands, Arches, all these national parks. We got in for free, and there was nobody there.
That's
crazy. What a dream.
Yeah. Now, there were some towns that we tried to go through, the smaller towns, and some of them were actually blocked off completely. They wouldn't even let us in the town.
Right.
Wow. And it was a crazy time.
And we had to, you know, alter our route a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Because not all parks were open.
Right.
All RV parks
right.
were open.
Or as some of them, you had to stay for a longer period of time if you were going to come, where they weren't letting new people come in.
Right. And you had to be self-contained.
Right.
Had to be.
But that is interesting that y'all probably traveled more than.
We did.
And we haven't heard that. I mean, again, this is why we do these things, because we're sitting here talking to you guys, and that's something we never even talked to y'all about.
Yeah. Yeah, as we're talking about, I'm like, wait, we've never asked him this question.
Yeah, and that's very interesting.
Because everybody else was staying home, and we thought,
Yeah, why?
And I think because we already had the trip planned.
Okay.
And then COVID hit.
So you just went ahead with
and
what you had already planned.
We just altered it a bit and worked around everything.
Yeah, because there were some states even that canceled our reservations.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The state canceled it.
The state canceled it.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
That's crazy.
And so would you say that's obviously a challenge because you had to rework that entire trip, but you were still able to pull it off. Do you have another big challenge that you faced as part of RVing that we haven't already talked about? That's
other than that boondocking
boondocking experience and renting your car,
getting out of Texas.
that's a fact. Yeah. Texas is a big place, y'all. And
well, we've had a lot of really good boondocking experiences. I gotta say, I mean, some of the places just amazed us.
Yeah.
That we
imagined.
I think it was Page, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Was one
Havasu.
Of them. Havasu. And that area. There's so many places to boondock, and we just happened upon some that were just crazy beautiful.
Yeah.
And, man, we just didn't want to leave.
But I don't
unfortunately,
think we have a lot of challenges.
We don't have a lot of that in Texas, unfortunately.
That's true.
But so what about memories? Is there things that you look at and you go, wow, you know, we would not have been able to make this memory had it not been that we were traveling in our RV and maybe something unexpected happened, and it just kind of has stuck with you as maybe a story that always kind of comes up, you know, when you're talking to people.
Hmm.
I'm throwing them a curveball here.
Yeah, there's just so many.
Well, this is our fourth year staying at Jamaica Beach for the November-December time frame.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have never done that.
True.
And it's been, you know, we've met friends here, we've made friends here, and the weather is predictably nice.
Yeah,
most of the time.
It's not perfect all the time.
No, but you know, you're on the coast. You know, a couple of football fields away from the golf, and you know, you're going to get weather.
Right.
But still, I mean, there's nothing but good memories coming down here.
So. I agree.
Yeah, we love Galveston, but I think the reason we come down here is to reconnect with everybody.
Yes.
Right.
I don't know if we would spend 6 weeks here if you guys weren't here and our group wasn't here.
Yeah, and I and y'all aren't even full timers. You're long timers, but a lot of us that do meet down here are full timers. Mm-hmm. And y'all do fit. I mean, you're just like the rest of us.
Well, y'all have more travels and more states marked off than a lot of full timers do.
No doubt, no doubt. And the way you travel is more so than even a lot of full-timers as well.
Well, even with traveling, and we say there's many ways to travel. And, you know, this summer we took the Jeep and left the motorhome behind. And I got the last state that I needed that I hadn't been to, which was Vermont.
Okay.
Yep. And so, we're still getting those experiences of fun travel.
And that,
exploring.
You know, I just got to say, I am seriously jealous of Betty, because Betty is from Canada, and she's been in all 50 states, and I haven't been.
And many of the provinces.
I haven't even been in near all 50 states, and she's already been there, and she grew up in Canada.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Kind of embarrassing, really.
Well, I haven't been on an airplane since I retired.
Isn't that great?
And before I retired, my job required me to be on an airplane a lot.
Now, at that point, you know, you said at the beginning of this, you said that, you know, the RVing was not on your radar mm-hmm. when you first retired.
Yeah.
Did you see yourselves traveling, like flying to places and spending time traveling? Or what did you think you'd be doing in your retirement?
Driving.
We always wanted to travel.
Yeah.
Travel was big.
Uh-huh.
So we love to drive places.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, we would think nothing of jumping in a car and drive 24 hours straight
to get
somewhere.
Right.
Spend some time and then drive back.
Wow.
You know, we think nothing of that. But with the RV and, you know, you can't really do that.
No, no, you can't.
No. 3 hours. Or
I think it's healthier to
5 hours.
To drive in an RV than it is in a car.
You're probably right.
But we knew that we still wanted to travel, and we knew that travel would be by car.
Okay.
So we thought, before we even considered an RV, we thought we'd be in a luxury car, a comfort car.
Right.
And just travel around the United States.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you glad that y'all got the RV and you're traveling that way? Or
so far, yes. Oh, I say so far. It's been, gosh, a number of years.
Yeah.
But, and we took the Jeep trip. You know, who takes a Jeep on a 9,000-mile trip? Not for
true.
The comfort. That's
no.
for sure.
I did miss the refrigerator.
And your own bathroom.
And your own bathroom.
Right. But, you know, and we take the Jeep with us, or we'll take our sports car with us.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Betty said, we take our Miata sometimes, but, you know, Mazda says, oh, no, you can't tow this Miata. And we've towed it over 15,000 miles now without any problems. So.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. And I remember when you first came here and you were towing it.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
You got comments from quite a few people saying, yeah. I don't think you're supposed to tow that behind there.
It's just following really close.
Yeah. Well, and Howard said, if the transmission goes out, I'll just buy another one.
Well, it's really interesting. The one time we took the Miata and we were towing it, and I think we're on like 67, and a couple of Miatas passed us. And they were waving like crazy, just seeing us towing
yeah.
this Miata. They thought that was
because that's
crazy.
A whole club in itself, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So before we wrap up here, if you guys were to meet, when you do meet people that are thinking about RVing, people that are maybe new to the lifestyle, do you have a piece of advice that you'd like to share with them?
Oh, just do it. Just do it. When we started getting into this, I was still working, and I wasn't, I had a few years yet to reach retirement age, and then I made the decision to retire a few years early. And I'm so glad I did because of the experiences and the fun and just living life for those few years that I wouldn't have had all
Your advice is do it.
Do it. Just
don't,
do it.
Don't think about it. Just do it.
You know, because it is scary to retire. You're losing your paycheck. You
right.
know, but, I mean, we
you
didn't.
You got to live life.
You got to live life.
Howard? I think the best advice I have is the same advice that I heard from somebody else. Is start small.
Mm.
If you're interested in traveling, whether it's a trailer or a motorhome, whatever it is, and you're not sure, start small.
Yep.
I think mm-hmm. that's great.
Get a small trailer, a pop-up if mm-hmm. if it comes to that. And, you know, see if you like it. See if you want to build on that and go bigger.
Before you make that big investment.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, I think that's a great piece of advice, too, because, you know, all of us, when we were getting into RVing, we started somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's not until you're really doing it that you realize what features are really going to be helpful for you. What, you know, do you need more space? Do you really want that king bed, or do you want mm-hmm. a queen, or do you want a jackknife couch, or do you want, you know, how do you want the layout? What's comfortable for you? And until you're doing that and you're traveling in an RV, it's hard to know what things will be worth paying for.
Right.
And it's hard to know what type of RV is going to fit your style, because everybody has a different style of travel.
And I think that goes with the accessories, too. We were the type that we bought everything
yeah.
to go in the RV, and we don't use half of what we bought.
Right.
That's a great tip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we've given away a bunch of our stuff,
yes,
too.
Yes, we have.
Throughout yeah. the years, for sure.
Make room for new stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's true, too. Well, y'all, really, thank you so much for sitting down with us again. And,
yes.
And no camera this time, but for inviting us in and sitting down with us, spending this time and sharing your experiences. We really, really appreciate it. It's always a ton of fun.
It is.
And yep. We look forward to the next time we get to hang out. Y'all are getting ready to leave, but we're gonna see y'all again soon, I hope.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be somewhere
yep.
throughout the year. We'll
yep.
we'll hook up
That's
somewhere.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, yeah, thanks for joining us again, y'all. I hope you're enjoying this series of meeting our friends, because
for
that's
sure.
really what it's all about.
Yep.
And make sure you're subscribed to the podcast so you'll hear more episodes. You can find us now on Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio.
YouTube,
yes.
Where you can make a comment that we will see and answer.
That's true. So if you want to leave a comment, if you have a question for Betty or Howard, leave a comment there on YouTube, and
yep.
We'll try to get it answered for you. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, y'all, safe travels.
And happy camping.
Bye.